Oh, good Lord. Hi, I'm Katya. I'm an alcoholic. And I have to drink out of a straw. Pardon me. Hold, please. Yeah, it's okay. I'm not saying anything important yet. I'm loud. Don't worry. We're good. I feel so much better now. I'm Katya. I'm an alcoholic. Can y'all hear me? Do you want me to touch this microphone? Yes? If it falls, you're gonna turn it up? I'll talk loud. Hi. I want to thank a lot of people. I mean, you were really smart, Betty Ann. You brought up a list. You wrote it down. That shows that you've been around much longer than me. I was thinking about that. I was like, if you weren't here for the Al-Anon luncheon speaker, Betty Ann was our speaker, and she was amazing. And I saw her go up with a piece of paper. I thought, what is she doing? And then I went, oh, she's so smart, because she wrote down everybody that touched her this weekend and thanked them. And so I have to do it from memory. So I want to thank Kevin and his wife, Tanya, for being our hosts and hostesses and for inviting me to come out here. And Andrea as well, and Betty Ann is my new friend. And I used to be so tough, and I'm just such a mushball. I've been crying since you spoke. And you know, I got sober in 1988. On Monday, I'll be 28. And I got sober when I was 20. And I was sitting here during the Al-Anon speaker going, how in the world am I sober? Hearing the story about her daughter who's not sober, people that have passed away. And we hear it. If you go to meetings, you hear about it. But I just, for whatever reason today, it just hit me hard. And I'm very shy by nature. And I was like, I'm going back to my room, and I just shut it down. And I'm just all mushy and emotional, so hopefully I'll get fun and exciting, but I'm pre-warning you. I'm grateful to be here, and I'm humbled to be here. I heard all the time that's in the room, and I thought, to half these people, I'm a newcomer, and I love that. I love not being the boss, and because I'm bossy by nature. I was born in Denmark. My mom's Danish. My mom looks just like Betty Ann. Not kidding. I'll break out a picture at the end of the night. It's freaky. Like body, hair, outfit, everything. Just like, are we going romantic? Please, I got ADD, ADHD. Don't start distracting me. Don't jack me up. Don't mess me up. Don't get up. Don't go to the bathroom. Just shut it down. So anyways, and my dad's, I was born in Denmark, my mom's Danish, my dad's Persian, and that just makes me either fascinating and unique or totally different. It depends on which day we're at. Today I was different. And I was born in Denmark but raised in Studio City and I'm an only child. I was very shy. I was chubby. I was a tomboy. I didn't want brothers and sisters. I wanted an older brother. My mom told me she couldn't make me one. I didn't understand why. And I was perfectly fine being by myself. I was perfectly fine playing in my room for hours. When I got invited to a birthday party, it was horrific for me. Because back in the day, sit it down. Yeah, I told you. So back in the day, parents used to just drop kids off at these parties. Now they got 14 chaperones, but back then the parents just dropped you off. And I was like, I don't want to go to the party. I don't want to go. Mom, go with me. I mean, that's how I was. And in elementary school, it was already awful. Recess was awful. I hated recess because it's like, what do you do? What do you do? Like, I know what to do in school. You sit down and the teacher talks and you do whatever. But you know, you can only eat so long, and then there's all this extra time. So I used to pick ladybugs, and I had a little plastic container that had holes in it so they didn't die, and I'd pick ladybugs every day at lunch, and then I'd let them go at day. So I'm just trying to paint a picture for you how terribly shy I was. And you know, and your story about, you know, when your mom passed away and how it changed your life. I had not as tragic, but I had a similar thing where, so I'm in second grade and my dad reunites with a friend from Iran, and he has a wife and they have three kids. They have a girl that's 4 years older than me, a boy that's 4 years older than me, and a baby that was just born, and I'm 7 years old. And all of a sudden, we do everything with this family. So I now have an extra mom and dad. I got an older brother and an older sister and a baby brother, and I'm so happy because, you know, we're related, so that means they must like me. And now I got friends, and I'm so happy. Like, I'll just get through school because come Friday night, I'm going to sleep over. I used to sleep over all the time. I was always with them. I had this older brother, this older sister. That's how I looked at it, and I was so happy because I was so painfully shy. And something funky was going on in this house. And the first time I saw it, you know, the mom beat the daughter bad. And I didn't come from violence. And I remember being little because I remember how big she was. And I had a spiritual experience. I changed. I had a complete change in my personality. Complete. And all this is retrospect from doing an inventory. You know, I didn't know this at the time. I used to share that I was born a fat, angry boy. And it's really not true. I became a fat, angry boy in second grade. And I had short hair, I was chubby, and I was angry. And all of a sudden, I wanted everything you had. All of a sudden, what I had wasn't enough. And I was terribly spoiled. So it's not that I didn't have anything. But what I had just wasn't enough. I wanted what was in your lunchbox. I wanted to wear what you were wearing. I wanted all that. And I remember I wanted what was in this girl's lunchbox, and I was polite enough to tell her to give it to me. She said, no, I took it. She told on me, and I flipped her outside of school. I just freaking judo. And I was big. I was bigger than most of the kids, and I became a bully. I became loud. I became the kid that was always disrupting everybody in class. I report card, talks too much, has potential but, doesn't follow direction, doesn't play well with others, you know, wants to be the boss on the playground, you know, and this is who I became. Meanwhile, this family's beating the crap out of their kids, and it killed me. I remember being in elementary school, telling my cousin's sister, don't be confused, it's all the same family. I just call her different things. And I just remember telling her, like, can't you tell somebody? Can't you tell somebody? And she said, no one will believe me. And I remember there was this guy when I got sober, his name was Steve B, and he was a psychiatrist. And he said, there's a prophet in every family. And the prophet is the one that sees the pink elephant in the living room and is going, do you guys see it? Do you see it? And everybody's going, nope, don't see it, don't see it. It's not happening. And I was the prophet in the family. I was constantly going, do you see that he hit her? Do you see he took his shoe and hit her upside her head? She's got a concussion now. Do you see it? Well, no, you know, she was bad. She was messing around with a boy. And I was like, something's just not right here. And so this cousin, she was brilliantly smart. She's in junior high, and she's tutoring guys in high school. And our parents would go out of town. I'm not out of town, I'm sorry. They'd go out for the night, and these boys would come over. And thank God I was a fat little boy, right? Because these high school boys would come over, and they looked like the lead singer of Led Zeppelin. If you don't know what that looks like, Google it. I mean, they had the long hair, big frizzy hair, and the jean shirts open, and the Levi's super low. And this is before they wore underwear. And so the man hair was coming out. You know, the man hair was coming out of the jeans. And I was like, oh, my God. And it was just fun to watch me get high. And that's where the experimenting started. And thank God no one touched me funny. You know, I'd have a different story. And that's where it started. And I remember the first time I got drunk, I was in fifth grade. And she said, tonight we're going to get drunk. And I said, yes. And she said, we're going to have scotch and water. And I said, yes. And it, you know, it just tasted like, you know, it tasted awful. I don't even understand why people drink scotch. And we didn't even mix it. Like, we had Kool-Aid at home, and we had Sprite or whatever, but for some reason it was scotch and water, and I drank all night, I puked all night. And I remember saying to her the next day, she said, we should eat Jell-O because it'll coat our stomach. And I love the whole, like, chemical experiment of it. You know what I mean? Like, if you do this and you do that, you take this and take that and don't eat and eat. And if you don't eat, and, you know, it's all going to be. And so we were eating Jell-O. And I remember saying to her, can we do this again next weekend? I remember when I first got sober, I was like, was I born an alcoholic or did I become one? Like, I don't really care now, but I remember at the time I was like, probably born. And, you know, and I just loved being chemically different. I wasn't comfortable in my skin. I don't know if I was ever comfortable in my skin. And I'm getting into junior high now. And, you know, junior high, it's really important. I mean, I got sober in the Valley. I don't know what it's like here, but man, the pressure to look good and be popular, or maybe that pressure was all in my brain, I really don't know. But I remember it was just too much. And, you know, just keeping up with everything, and girls were dating, and I was like, and you know, and I, like I told you, I was this boy, and then now I had to, like, transform into a girl, and I was like, I don't know, I don't want to wear pink, and, you know, and I was fat, and I heard about speed, and it wasn't the kind of speed that people do now, this meth where they pick their freaking face to the bone. I'm like, no, not that. You know, like, we have a sense of vanity here, you know. And so these were just these lovely little white pills that made me not want to eat. And I was like, this is a miracle. Like, this is so fabulous. My eyes don't get red. My breath doesn't smell. No one can tell. And I was already, like, aggro. So I'm sitting in class and I'm moving a little extra. No one knows, you know. I was always moving and talking and interrupting. So it wasn't like it was all of a sudden I had this huge personality change. It just added to my hyperness. And, you know, and I thought this was fabulous and I didn't want to eat. And then, long story short, one day I got a heart murmur. I ended up in the hospital. And they're like, are you taking anything? I'm like, no, of course not. You know, and I'm next to my dad. And, you know, I don't know about anybody else's dad, but if you have a Persian dad, he will kill you, then kill me. So I'm just like, no, nothing. And so I pull the nurse aside. I said, you know, I've been taking these little pills, and I don't know if this has anything to do with it. And she goes, you little bee. And I was like, I was F. And she said, of course that's it. Stop taking them. And so I just stopped. You know, and that is my history with drugs. I would start them, something would happen, and I would just stop them. And in between all of that was always alcohol. And, you know, there was pot when I was 15. It made me want to eat the fridge. I was like, never again. I remember I was at my girlfriend's house, and all she had was potatoes. And we cooked those potatoes every which way. You know, we fried them, we mashed them. I was like, potatoes, And the next day, I was like, this is the dumbest high on the planet. I was like, I don't even understand people that smoke pot. You know, and you don't even know what it is. It's like, is it oregano? Is it pot? I'm like, nah. And, you know, and then I'm in alcohol. And I'm in high school now, and I'm a bully. I'm a big bully. And I'm getting in fights. I'm getting in real fights. And I'm bringing alcohol to school, and I'm cool, and everybody knows me, and there's only one Katya, and I'm just like, that's right. And I go to parties, and, you know, and people are like, are you Katya? Isn't that fantastic? I was like, yes. And they're like, you know, I heard about you. I'm like, well, it's all true. You know, so step back. And I was violent. I was extremely violent. And God forbid if I had a boyfriend and there was a female anywhere near, it was just like, she looked at you. She's dead, then you're dead. You know, like, I was nuts. And I remember in 11th grade, I got in a really bad fight. And I came home and I looked like I had gotten in a really bad fight. And my dad was like, what happened to you? Meanwhile, my dad's a loan shark, and the only guy that I knew of besides doctors that had a pager. And he's like, what happened to you? And I'm like, this girl, blah, 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 she started it. You know, I always had to say that. She started it. And he says, you knocked her out? I said, yeah, I knocked her out. And he's like, she was out? I said, out. And he said, you know, this was during the summer before 12th grade. He goes, you know, she's going to want to come back and get revenge. And I was like, Ann? And he's like, well, you better take this. And he gave me a switchblade. He's like, you better carry this. My dad's badass. I was like, thank you, Dad. You know, I was never told not to be violent. I don't know why. And, you know, so I'm barely graduating high school. And in between all of this are countless times of either A, this is how I would do alcohol. I'm not drinking. I'm not going to drink. And I'd go to the parties, and you would all be drunk, and I would look down on you. Look, you're puking. You're falling down. Terrible. Not drinking. I don't need to drink to have fun. I got more fist fights, not drinking. And then the next thing you know, I'm loaded and, you know, drunk at a party, and people are coming to me going, I thought you weren't drinking. I'm like, mind your own business. And so this is like how I did alcohol. And you know, my parents would go out of town and leave me a house, money, and keys to a car. It was crazy. And so we'd promptly go to the liquor store, and there was one liquor store they used to sell to me, and you know, I'd get the one with the handle, and we'd always start out with blenders and fruit and ice and things, and before you know it, we're just like, pour it in the coffee cup. And you know, my parents would come home on Sunday, and I'm sure I'd look like hell. And they're like, what'd you do? I'm like, oh, we went to a movie and stuff. So I'm barely graduating high school. I tried to start a gang, my gang, when I really did. And when it came time to go tagging, the girls were like, tagging? I'm like, it's what you do when you have a gang. You gotta tag, and it's what we do. And they were like, so I promptly lost my gang. I'm barely graduating high school. I'm 17 years old, and it was the first time I made the conscious decision to change. You know, I used to get so confused when I used to read the Big Book, because they would talk about, you know, quitting drinking, and I don't remember saying, drinking is a problem, and I'm going to quit, like really, like making solid promises. I just made promises to change. I'm going to go be different. And I was raised right. I was raised upper middle class, half Jewish family, snobby, 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 Chanel, blah, blah, blah. You know, everybody's married one time. And like, you know, sitting down for all the Jewish holidays, all that stuff. And so I knew that gangster gotcha wasn't right. And so I was like, okay. I'm graduating high school barely. I'm going to go become a lady. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get good grades. I never opened a book in my life. I was totally dyslexic and didn't know it. I used to just bully my way through tests. I would just sit next to the smart girl and go, you better show me your page. You better show me your paper. And she'd be like, okay. So I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get good grades. I'm going to become a lady. And then I'll meet him. He'll pay for everything. I'll have one, maximum two kids and a Labrador. And that's it. And that was the plan. And from 17 to 19, I had one boyfriend that went to jail for robbing houses. I had another boyfriend who I absolutely loved to death, and he beat the crap out of me. I had a daily cocaine habit. I was living in an apartment that was paid for by some creepy older guy that lived in Boston. I had no electricity. I didn't need it. I wasn't doing my hair, and that's what you need electricity for. There was never anything in that fridge. I chased my alcohol with warm Diet Coke. Didn't need ice. I actually hated ice. It took up too much space. And this was me in 2 years. And I went to four different junior colleges and got, I passed one class, health. And you know, that health class, it was really funny. We had a guest speaker. I'm in an Al-Anon book. So we had a guest speaker that came in to talk about adult children of alcoholics. And this was big in the 80s. It was ACA and CODA and all this, and, you know, inner child and walk around with a teddy bear and all this kind of stuff. And so I have an opinion. So she came and spoke about adult children of alcoholics and the 12 characteristics of an adult child of an alcoholic. And my mom drank, and her drinking bothered me. And I'm taking notes because I want to be a good kid. So I'm taking notes, and as I'm writing down each characteristic of an adult child of an alcoholic, I'm like, that's me. And the second one, that's me. By the end of her speech, I was crying. And I went up to her, and I was like, oh my God, that's me. It's all my mother's fault that I'm like this. And That's me. My mother's an alcoholic. And she gives me her card. She's got, you know, a bunch of initials after her name, you know, MFCC, whatever the heck she was. And she says, well, you can come see me. And I said, how much does it cost? And she said, $80. And I was like, that's a gram of cocaine. Can't go. Can't go. And so, you know, I'm 19 and I'm not living the life that I was meant to live. And my friends wouldn't hang out with me anymore. And I was just too scary. I was too scary because I was horribly violent by this time. And I was uncontrollable. It wasn't fun anymore. And for them. And so one night I convinced them to come over and I said, look, I'll be a lady. We'll have champagne. Because that's not really drinking. I don't drink bubbly things when I want to get drunk. I'll light candles. I don't have electricity. And we'll go out dancing. We'll go out dancing. Going clubbing was big back then. I don't know about now. And I said, we'll go out dancing. And they said, okay. They said, you're going to fight? I said, no. I wear white. Girls that fight don't wear white. I wear white. I wear my hair down. Because, you know, girl fights were nasty. All this? Are you kidding? You just grab it. And then just go to town. And I said, I'll wear long earrings. Not fighting. And so they came over. We had champagne. And one girl wasn't drinking. And I'm like, whatever, fuddy-duddy. And then we stop at the liquor store. I'm 19, so we can't even drink in a club. So we stop at a liquor store and we get wine coolers. This is me not drinking. Wine coolers. And I would never choose wine coolers. I mean, that's such a waste of liquid space. It's like, just get tequila. Get it, you know, like, get her done. And so we're drinking, and this girl's not drinking it. And her name was Crystal. And I said, why aren't you drinking? And she said, I'm sober. And I thought, oh, my gosh, good for you. I remember you at this last party. You were such a lush. I'm so happy for you. Right? You know, it was just creepy when I got sober. And they're like, everything you point out in somebody else, it's in you. And I was like, oh, I hate that. Oh, my God. I got to like everybody quick. And so we went to the club, and of course I got in a fight, and you know, and I remember asking Crystal about this this other program. I said, there's this other program that gets people sober. And she said, yeah, it's called Al-Anon. I said, you got to take me. You got to take me, because if my mom got sober, my life would be different. And she said, okay. And she went to take me to an Al-Anon meeting, and by accident, we ended up in the big AA meeting. The Al-Anon meeting was in a different room at Valley Presbyterian Hospital in Van Nuys. And so we sat in the back, and people came up and were talking, and I never heard the word alcoholic. It was really weird. I kept saying, she goes, we're in the AA meeting. I'm like, how do you know? She goes, I know. I'm like, how do you know? Well, I didn't know. For the most part, AA meetings look very different from Al-Anon meetings. You know, AA meetings, you got guys with tats all up here, and it's tats on the face. It's just different. Not that they're not in Al-Anon too, but for the most part, Al-Anon's a little prettier. And so she's like, I know, it's an AA meeting. I'm like, how do you know? And I'm talking, and she's like, shh. And so some lady gets up to take a cake, and she resembles a mother. And I'm in the back, and I start, the biggest, loudest, ugliest cry on the planet. And she's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, if my mother got sober like that lady, my life. And she takes me outside because I'm so destructive. And she's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, if my mother would get sober, my life would be so different. I heard this woman share it in my health class. You know, it's all my mother's fault. Everything is my mother's fault. And she's like, well, let's get you to the Al-Anon meeting. And the funniest thing is I was scared to go to the Al-Anon meeting. I was scared that I would go there and they would know. And I was in such deep denial that I could sit in AA meetings, and I was like, these were great meetings for you guys. I love these meetings. I was in that. And, you know, it's like, and if you love somebody and they're in denial, just shut up. Just stay shut up. You know, God will come in and work his magic. And I'm so grateful Crystal never said anything. I sat in AA for 2 months and just went, wow, that's really great. This is so great. So tell me about this God. And she's like, what do you want to know? I'm like, can you eat bacon? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, can you eat shellfish? And these are all these little Jewish rules. And she's like, yeah, we can have shellfish. I'm like, you got to pray on your knees? She goes, no. I said, what kind of God? Is it Jesus? And she's like, it's whatever you want it to be. I said, what kind of religion is that? She's like, it's not a religion. I'm like, what? And I'm just asking her all these questions. Like, what do you do during the moment of silence? And she'd tell me, and what do you do there? And why do we do this prayer? And why do we do that prayer? And how come he said this? And how come? And I would just ask and ask and ask. And she never said, hey, stupid. You know, you and I used exactly the same. Hello. We drove the same car. We had the same story. We literally drove the same car, had the same story. And everybody thought we were sisters. We would just tell people, yeah, we're sisters, just to shut them up. And we'd go to the meeting after the meeting. Everybody did fellowship after the meeting. They all did it at Jerry's Deli. And at Jerry's Deli, the waiters were sober, the manager was sober, every guest was sober, and they would just table hop. Jerry's Deli would look like this, and then people would just get up. Hey, what's going on? And I thought it was so cool. It's like, because up until that point, I was the smartest person in my crew. Imagine that. Everybody came to me for advice. And what do we do? And where do we go? And who do we, you know, Katya, what do we do? And all of a sudden, there were all these different ages and all these different people and all these different walks of life. And I thought, this is so great. And Crystal would ask this one advice. And then she would ask that one advice. And they'd come and share. And I thought, AA is so great, you know, for all you guys. And I just wish my mom would get sober. And if she got sober, my life would be different. And I'm so grateful that no one tried to call me on my poo-poo. And, you know, they would ask me. They'd say, you know, are you sober? And I'd go, no, I don't have a problem. And I was in my I don't have a problem stage. And so I was trying to control it. And my last drink, this is so sad. I should be kicked out of AA for this. My last drink, I had just turned 20. It was September 10th. My sober birthday is October 10th. So September 10th, I just turned 20 and I was still friends with my drinking buddies, and my best friend said, you know, I'm going to take you out for drinks. And I said, okay. And afterwards, I was going to go dancing with my sober friends. So we go to this Mexican restaurant that serves us and that doesn't card us. And I order a pina colada. Now, you already know, I don't do ice. I don't do mixers. I don't do anything. So this is me not drinking. So I do a pina colada. And then the waiter comes by, offers a second drink. And I'm like, ugh, you know, like, because I'm going to go out with the sober people and I don't want to smell, and, you know, because I'm not an alcoholic. And my drunk friend is like, you have to have a second drink, it's your birthday. And I said, you know, I'll have a pina colada, easy on the alcohol. So quiet it got. That was my last drink. Isn't that insane? I mean, had I known I was going to get sober, I'd have done it right. And And I went to the club that night and promptly got in a fist fight with a guy. And it was great. So it's October 10th and I'm at home. I had moved back home and I hear a voice as loud as day. I had had a problem with cocaine. I had gone in the hospital. I'd gotten down to 120 pounds. I weigh 150 now. I was very sick. But I quit that on my own too. And I heard a voice as loud as day that said, you're going to use cocaine again. And I went, no. And I had a moment of clarity. All of a sudden, I knew I had this thing. So I called Crystal. I said, what do I do to join? And she said, just raise your hand. I said, you just raise your hand. That's it. That's it. And she said, that's it. So we went to this meeting that broke every tradition. It was an AA, NACA, Up Your A, All Your A meeting. It was called the Musicians Meeting. You could be whatever the freak you wanted. And, you know, and we went because there were cute boys. Like, why else do you go to meetings? And when you're 20. And, or, what am I? 48. Anyway, so we go to the meeting, and I'm definitely not an alcoholic. There's no way. No way. And so I'm listening to people stand up and say what they are. You know, one guy gets up and says he's a junkie, and I'm like, junk? I don't even know what junk is. What's a junkie? And, you know, so I'm waiting, and then one guy or girl, I don't remember, said they were an alcoholic and an addict. And I was like, yes, 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 that's what I'm going to be. Because Crystal goes to AA, and I want to go to AA with her. She goes to this clubhouse called Radford, and I was like, I want to go to AA with her, so I'll say I'm an alcoholic, but I'm not, but I'll say I am so they don't kick me out. So I said I was, and this is pre-cell phone, and so it felt like every woman came out to me and was like, hi, we're so glad you joined, how are you? Hi, here's my phone number, hi. And I'm like, the hell? And is this a cult? And I'm freaking out, and they're giving me their phone numbers, and I'm throwing them on the floor, and Crystal's picking them up, and she's like, what are you doing? I'm like, who the F are these broads? And, rah, 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 rah. And she's like, they're trying to be helpful. I'm like, helpful with what? I don't need their help. I've got you. We're good. And I'm like, I don't need them. And she's like, just take their numbers. I'm like, yeah, fine, but I'm never calling them. And then they had some of them were like old school. And can I have your phone number? No. No, you may not. No. Weirdo. And so I'm brand new sober, and all of a sudden, it was like God had put cotton in my ears for 2 months. 2 months I sat in AA. I don't think I heard anything. And the cotton came out. From the day I raised my hand, I was like, oh my God, I have to get a sponsor. I have to work these steps. I don't even know what those traditions are. I think they're rules. I'm not sure. I got to get commitments. I got to get a home group. All of a sudden I wanted to get an A and AA, which is so weird. Like I was never a front row sitter, people pleaser, do you like me girl. And my MO was, I'm going to hate you first. This way I don't care if you don't like me. If you can get through the hate, we could be friends, and that's it. And so I had to get a sponsor, and I started asking people, how do you get a sponsor? What do you do? How do you know? And they're like, get someone that works a good program. Come on. How do you know? I mean, she could be Robin Banks on the side. You don't know. She sits in the meeting for an hour and just looks good. And so so Mary comes in. She saunters in to Jerry's Deli. She's 6 feet tall. She's got blonde hair, big boobs. She's wearing a mini skirt and high heels, and she comes up to the table and sticks her leg up on the table. Hey, girls, how's it going? I was like, and then she proceeds to give Crystal the best boyfriend advice ever. And I'm like, Mary, how long are you sober? She said, 6 years. I was like, that's a long time when you're in your first 30 days. 6 years. I said, you sponsor people? She goes, yes. I'm like, will you be my sponsor? She goes, yes. And then Crystal goes, will you be my sponsor? Yes, so now she's going to sponsor both of us. Great, because Crystal and I do everything together anyways. And so little did I know, and Mary's nickname was Party Mary. She threw the best AA parties on the planet, and that's what she was known for. She was from Kentucky. She had an accent. She made great fried chicken. This is Mary, Party Mary. You know, and when Mary walked in the room, everyone looked, and I was like, that's my sponsor. Look how cool she is. That's it. And little did I know, she was this closet big book thumper. And wait, not only did she know the steps, not only did she know the traditions, she had a world service manual and had done all that kind of stuff. So she knew I was like, what? And so I got to her house and she told me, you know, read this and highlight this and blah, 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 and write on what you highlight, blah, blah. Okay, so I came to her house and I remember the minute we started going through, do you have a dictionary? No? Do you understand these words? No? You gotta get a dictionary. I still have that dictionary. It's got tape on it. I'm so proud of that. Like, if anyone ever takes that dictionary, I'll kill them. And, and we started going through the book, and she started talking about the history of AA, and she said, you know, if you're gonna be in this program, you need to know it. You need to know the history if you're gonna be a member. Like, I'm a member. Like, okay. And I remember she used to say, you're such a good AA, and I was like, I am a good AA. And I got commitments, and I dove in. I did everything Mary told me to do, but only Mary. Mary was the only person I'd listen to. It would be hilarious. The people would ask me to share, and I'd share about some drama, and then they'd say, well, you know, I think you should. I'd be like, hey, I have a sponsor. Thank you very much. I was rotten. And I used to eyeball girls in meetings, and Crystal would elbow me, and she'd be like, you can't do that. I'm like, she's staring at me. She's like, you can't do that. And I was like, I'll find her outside of Radford. She's like, you can't do that. Mary was the first person that told me that I would go to jail. I was like, go to jail for what? And she said, for assault. I said, I don't got my switchblade anymore. I don't have the switchblade. I'm not carrying the tire iron in the car. The tire iron is now back in the trunk where it belongs. It's very spiritual of me. And she said, no, you will go to jail. I said, for what? I said, assault, I don't have a weapon. She said, if you hit someone, you will go to jail. I was like, yeah, I never knew that. And so once I was sober long enough, I was like, how did I not go to jail? Because girls in jail are real. I mean, I hung out in Inglewood for about a year. There's some real girls. I was not a real girl, a real fighter, not compared to Inglewood. And I was like, I was spared because I had a mouth. I had lost all my teeth in jail, for sure. And maybe an eye socket or something. But anyways, I got into it right away. And I got, I started feeling better right away. And we got to that part in the book where it says, you know, do you believe to your innermost self that you're an alcoholic? And she shut the book, drama-like. And she said, well, do you? And I was like, well, do I what? And she said, do you believe to your innermost self that you're an alcoholic? And I couldn't lie to Mary. Couldn't lie to Mary. She was like Saint Mary. You know, I couldn't lie to her. And I started crying. And I was like, Mary, I'm not an alcoholic. I could control it. And I don't relate to the people in the meetings. And these people said that they drink a fifth a day. I don't even know what a fifth is. And I'm crying. Don't kick me out. And I could control it, Mary. I could control it. I'm pretty tough. And I'm just like hysterical. Like I said, I'll be a good AA. I'll sponsor everybody. I'll do everything. And she said, honey, the problem is one day your life's going to look really normal. It's going to look really normal. And you're going to be at a business luncheon. She goes, I know you can't imagine it, but you are going to grow up. And you're going to be at a business luncheon, and everyone's going to be having a glass of wine. And you're going to go, I wasn't an alcoholic. It was the cocaine. I'm not going to go call a dealer. I don't even know a dealer. I'll have that glass of wine. And she goes, and I don't want to be responsible for that. And I was like, now I'm going to get kicked out of AA, and I love AA. And she said, I want you to go home and write on your drinking experiences only. I was like, Mary, I'm not going to have any. She said, I understand. I want you to go home and write on your drinking experiences only. So I went home, and she always told me to pray before I wrote. She told me to turn off my phone, turn off my TV, just shut it all down, and ask God to help me to be honest. Ask God to guide my pen. And what I found out is there's a in my opinion, there's a level of denial with alcoholism that there is not with drugs. You ask any drug addict, while loaded, are you a drug addict? They will go, yep. It's very rare that they'll deny it. Now, do you want to get sober? No. But they won't deny being addicted to a drug. But man, you can ask an alcoholic that's on the street, an alcoholic bum on the street, are you an alcoholic? No, it's the wife, it's the cops, it's the, you know, it's everybody else. But it can't be the alcohol. So I went home and I wrote, and I got to see my allergy. I got to see that there were many times that I said, I'm going to get only so drunk. You know, that drunk, that good drunk. Legs are a little wobbly, but we can still walk. You know, that kind of thing. And I would get to that place of like, yes, that good feeling. And then it was like someone turned a light switch on. And then I was drinking the beers that had the cigarette butts on the table at the party. I was just like, so thirsty. And I wasn't thirsty, you know. And then I was blacking out or doing God knows what else. And so I was so grateful that she made me do that. I'm so grateful that she didn't say, oh, well, you know, honey, it's all the same. Because it's not. Anybody can go to a hospital, get on a morphine drip, and be addicted to morphine. It is not all the same. There are people at a restaurant having a glass of wine that are not addicted to alcohol. And it kills me when I hear people say, well, honey, it's okay. It's all the same. I have an opinion. So, because everybody I got sober with got drunk. Everybody I got sober with. I had a huge group of young people that I got sober with, and they all got drunk. After 2 years, 4 years, 5 years, one at 16 years. And they didn't go out on drugs. They went out because I'm not an alcoholic. Crystal went out after 4 years, came back, had 2 years. She's been out ever since. And if you saw her on Facebook, she's a year younger than me. And if you looked at her on Facebook, you would not believe that this girl is a year younger than me. She looks like she's 20 years older than me. And it's not about how you look, but I mean, you can just see that life has been rough. And she's alive. That was my other fear. Not that I'll go out and die. Like, that's easy. That I'll go out and live. Oof, God. And so, thank God for Mary. And I went through the steps, and I did it all. Fourth step, yes. Fifth step, yes. Shockingly, that family was completely left out of my fourth step. Not on purpose. Not on purpose. I tell you, I didn't lie. I was totally honest. My family had stopped hanging out with that family when I was 17 years old. And somehow, you know, God is great because he just shut that part down. Because at 20 years old, living at home, had I written about that at that time, I'd have been in a fetal position. They'd have had to put me in a straitjacket and lock me up. I couldn't have taken it. And I'm so grateful for that. You know, so if you haven't done a four-step yet and you're worried about leaving something out, as long as you're not doing it on purpose, don't worry about it. It'll come up. So, and then there's this lovely thing called the 10th step. It's forever. And so, you know, it was great. Being sober was great. I loved it. I had fun. I started sponsoring people around 6, 9 months sober. I sponsored 3 little girls and they followed me everywhere. They used to call me the mama hen and they were my baby chickens and we went everywhere and we did everything. And I loved it. I loved it. I stopped having feelings. I stopped being angry. I stopped wanting to kill people. My parents liked me now. My parents trusted me. When I said I was at Jerry's Deli, they used to page the place. Paging Katya, paging Katya. I'd answer the phone, hi dad. Oh, you're there. Well, yeah, I said I was going to be here. They started to trust me. I got a job. They liked me. I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy. And, you know, and then I met him. He was a man. And he had a car, a nice car that he paid for. He had an apartment that he paid for. He knew how to cook. And he had a cell phone that was the size of a briefcase. And he was 30 or 31. Like grown man age, and he was 5 years sober, and his initials were KK, and I'm K, and so you know we're gonna be KK and KK and have little K's, you know, and I was just like AA is great, I love AA, and now we love AA, and you know, and little by little, you know, the sponsee would want to meet, and I'm like, I'm with Kay, can't. And, you know, and he went to the different meetings, and so I just started going to those different meetings, and Mary had moved back to Kentucky, and I don't think I had gotten a new sponsor yet, you know, because he was kind of like my sponsor, kind of, but not really, you know, he helped me, he was so helpful. And, he was my higher power. And, you know, and then after a couple years, one day he wanted space. And I was like, space, what kind of space? Like space in the drawer? Space in the closet? What kind of space are we talking about? And that's just a chicken way of saying you're about to break up. So, men, don't do that. And so he broke up with me. And I thought I was going to die. I literally thought I was going to die. I thought, I'm going to die from feelings. Like, you know, people think feelings aren't facts. And I was like, if anyone says that to me, I'm going to sock them in the face. I started getting extremely violent. I started fighting. I started dating a married guy. Why not? Who cares? Started sitting in the back of the room. And this started this pattern of me going in the middle of AA to the outside of AA, in the middle of AA to the outside of it. And this was a pattern I did for about every four years, you know, and I almost got loaded. I ended up in a relapse prevention group. Somehow God is funny like this. And I realized what I was doing and I got a new sponsor and started working the steps again and starting over and going 1 through 9. And I can't tell you how many times I've done 1 through 9. And I do 1 through 9 and by the time I'm getting close to 9, my life starts looking good again. And I got the job and now I'm getting older and now I got my own apartment and now I'm paying for my own apartment and now I got a car and now I got a business card and now I got a title and the wherever I'm working, they say, you know, we know you need to leave at 5 on Thursdays, but we need you here. And I go, okay, of course. And then little by little, AA was not as important. And then my tushy would fall off and every 4 to 5 years. And I didn't see the pattern. I didn't see it. And what I did was I got more knowledge. My book got older looking. I could quote it better. And my ego would grow. So I got 5 years now. Now I got 10 years now. Now I got 15. You don't tell me, newcomer. And, you know, and I am my book. My book looks like an old pastor's book, and I would carry it around. I never wore the name, the number. You know, some people wear their numbers. I never wore that. I was like, look at the book. Come on. So I'm 17 years sober. I'm married. I own a house. I drive a Mercedes. I've been promoted 4 times at this job. I mean, I am so fabulous. And I get fired. And this is a job that I said, I'm going to go gray here. I mean, like, you'll never see the gray, but I'm going gray at this job. Vanity still. I don't think it'll ever go away. I'm Persian. So they fired me. I was an HR liability. Because what happens is when I stop working a program, when I stop looking at myself, when I stop taking inventory, when I stop doing everything that's in the book to arrest my alcoholism, I don't get thirsty, I get mean. I don't get thirsty, I get right. I am so right. And I could do the job of 10 people, but I will step on your face while I'm doing the job, and I don't care, and you're just sensitive, or you're just jealous, or I'm just very direct. I'm just direct. And she said, you're an HR liability. We're going to start getting lawsuits. She said, I don't see it in you, but everybody else keeps complaining about you. I'm like, well, of course you don't see it, because I would never let you. I mean, I categorize people. You know, you're important, treat you good. You're below me, treat you bad. And, you know, there was no such thing as principles before personalities. Really? So I get fired. I'm 17 years sober. I need a new sponsor. Again, someone tells me to go to this lady, and this lady's got 32 years. You know, I'm like, who's going to sponsor me? I know so much. And so there's this lady, she's got like 32 years sober, and she takes me on, and I got to go to her house every weekend, every Sunday, and do 10 steps every freaking Sunday. And I'd go to her house, and we'd sit there, and we'd get to the fourth column, and she'd say, well, you see where you're selfish and self-centered? And I go, yeah. And she'd go, okay then. I go, all right. And I'd leave her house crazier than when I got there, knowing what was wrong with me. Knowing. I knew so much. You know, that family came out in when I was 5 years sober in another inventory. I had a sponsor that asked me to write an autobiography. And I was like, where's that in the book? And she said, nowhere. Now write it. And I'm so glad she did, because shockingly that family came out. And so I had knowledge of where the violence came from. So knowledge, you know, that's going to cure me. That's going to make me stop wanting to sock you in the throat. Well, no, now I'm 19 years sober. I'm pulling a girl out of a car. My husband's like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, well, she said the F word to me. And he's like, what? You know, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, look, you didn't marry a wilting violet, okay? And that's just how I acted. And when you're, I'm sitting in meetings and I'm feeling like I'm crazy. And I'm super sober. And I'm hearing chapter 5. I'm really hearing it, where it says some are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. And I went, what does that mean? You can't be honest with yourself. If you can't be honest with yourself, that means you lie to yourself. If you lie to yourself, how do you know you lie to yourself? Why'd they write that in the book? What are you supposed to do with that? What if I lie to myself? So I'm sitting in meeting, just psychobabbly analyzing myself, trying to figure it out. Because I have a sponsor with 30-something years. She's supposedly amazing. And she's, you know, telling me, don't you see it? I'm like, yes. I had another sponsor for 7 years that would tell me, just go to work and be nice. And that just made so much sense to me. Of course. I'm going to go to work and be nice. I'm going to stab you in the neck. I'm nuts. Like, I can't. I can't be nice. I don't even know what that means. And I would try. I'd be like, oh, Betty Ann, I really like your shirt. Why? I just stepped on Betty Ann's face 4 times the day before. So then she'd look at me weird. And then I'd be like, oh, she's just jealous. You know, like, it just was nuts. I couldn't, you know, write a gratitude list. What? What is that going to do? How's that going to change me? Like, if I don't change. And I knew I was going to end up loaded. I didn't know how. I didn't know how I was going to talk myself into it. But I said, when I'm going to get loaded. I can't stay sober this long like this. I can't. And I wasn't thirsty. And when you're in that desperate place, you get those crazy sponsors. And so I got a crazy sponsor. I got that lady that told you what to wear. She had a list of requirements. She had all these rules. And I'm like, yes, 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 I'll do all that. And I asked her, I said, can you show me long-term sobriety happy? And she said, if you do what I tell you to do. I said, okie doke, I'm in. She hated me. I didn't know that. She didn't tell me until I was with her for 3 years. She was like, oh, I thought, oh, God. And because my ego was so awful. And I said, but you didn't know I was willing. I've always been willing. And so I started going through the book with her, and I became new again. I became new. You know, she asked me to sit in the front. She asked me to get a brand new book. And I was like, I'm going to go to a book study with a brand new book? What about my old book? You know what I mean? So I remember coming to that meeting. My ego was my worst enemy. I'd sit in that meeting with a brand new book, and I'd open it up. There'd be a girl here and a girl there, and I wanted to go, look, look, look. I got 19 years, okay? But this lady just asked me to get a new book. And I didn't say it, you know, but I was thinking it. And, you know, and my I've heard of it, you know, my ego is not my amigo. And it was taking me out. It was taking me out. I had so much knowledge, I was about to get loaded. And, you know, and we went through the inventory, and I thought, another inventory, great. And I've done 14 of them by now. And she said, this is the last inventory you're ever going to do. I said, really? I said, what about those people that say, I do, I go through this stuff once a year. She goes, that's self-obsession. I was like, oh, okay. And so what am I going to do? She goes, you're going to go out, you're going to teach it. She goes, you want to learn it? You got to teach it. That is the only thing that is going to help you. You must sponsor. So she wasn't like, I suggest. She was like, you must sponsor. I sponsor sponsors. You must go sponsor. And I remember the first time she took me through a 10-step, I remember I called her with something. I was mad at my husband for something. And she goes, oh, it sounds like you have a resentment. This is wonderful. Let's get out a pad of paper. And I thought, why is this lady so happy? To do columns. I know what's going to happen. She's going to tell me what's wrong with me. Don't you see it? I'm going to say, yes, I see it. And then I'm crazy. And we started doing this inventory, and it had a few extra columns. And one of them was, you know, fears. Like, what could you have done differently? After what I did do. She goes, what could you have done differently? I'm like, I don't know. She's like, yeah, that's why you have a sponsor to help you look at that. And she told me, you could have done this. And I was like, oh, well, that's something. And she goes, and let's go to the next column. Why didn't you? Fear. I was afraid I'd lose something that I had or not get something that I wanted. What were you afraid of? And I was like, well, I don't have any fears. You know, I will walk up to the biggest guy and knock him in the back of the head. I am not afraid of anything, like, except for the dark. And with the mirror, you know, the Mary, she's going to come through the mirror. And she said, no, there's fears. And we looked and we looked and we looked. And she just asked a lot of questions. You know, she was the first sponsor that didn't tell me what to do. She asked questions. It was like she was on a mission, you know, like we're on a hunting mission to go find it. And she used to say, you know, God's going to show up on the page. And I believed her. And I found I had these little bitty fears. I had these little fears. I'm afraid you're not going to like me. I didn't even know I had that. And you know, and then we got into the character defects. And she helped me find out what were my character defects. And then she said, now we're going to go into contrary action, the contrary action of these character defects. And you're going to live in these. And if you live in the contrary action, so if you stop doing what you want to do and do what you don't want to do, which is the contrary action, she said, you'll have a spiritual experience. Your thinking will change. You will see people differently. You will hear them differently. And you will react to them differently. That's a spiritual experience. And I was like, okay, let's go. And, you know, and I went to meetings, and because she told me you have to sponsor. And I would go to meetings, I'd find someone that looked miserable and be like, hey, you, I just found a new way. Come on, let's go. And I was recruiting. I was not a program of attraction. I was a program of recruitment. And overnight, I was sponsoring 5 girls, and my marriage was falling apart. And I was sponsoring these 5 girls, and I was walking around the house, and my husband would say, you know, what are you so happy about? And I'd be like, for today I'm sober, for today you're sober, for today this is our house, and for today these are our dogs. And he'd be like, well, I asked for a divorce. I'm like, and when you go to the lawyer, we'll get one. Anyways, what do you want for dinner? You know, and he was just like, what? You know, and we lived like that for a year, you know, and my sponsor said, you can't get divorced yet. You can't get divorced yet. I'm like, when can I get divorced? She said, when God lets you know. I'm like, this sponsor. And, you know, and for that year in that marriage, I had to look at myself. I had to look at my, I'm like, but he, but you, you know, and we did end up getting divorced, and we're friends today. We're friends today. He's sober too. He came over to my house to do this magical 10 step. One day he called me. He was so upset about something. I said, sounds like you have a resentment. I can help you get free of that if you want to. And I couldn't believe that came out of my mouth. He's like, really, you could? I said, yeah, come over. Came over, he did a 10-step, and he was like, I don't have any fears. Well, of course, you know, like attracts like. He and I were exactly the same. It's a miracle we weren't Bonnie and Clyde robbing banks and killing people. And, you know, he's like, I don't have any fears. I'm like, yeah, I know, I'm just like you. But we do. They're secret. They're way back here pushing us through the world. And, you know, in the last 9 years that Linda's been my sponsor, I've been more active in AA than I ever have been. I got to do a lot of work to stay above water. I do. I'm a summer sicker. You know how some are sicker than others. Yeah, well, I'm one. And so I have to do a lot of work to stay above water. and to not start drowning. However, in the last 9 years, I've woken up happy. I want to say about 98% of the time. And that's going through a divorce, that's losing a house, that's driving a 12-year-old Mercedes, that's moving into a guest house, moving into a guest house after losing my house and my bed is in my kitchen. That's folding sweaters at Nordstrom on commission when I used to make six figures at the job that I got fired at. Happy. And that doesn't mean I don't like stuff and I don't love stuff, and yes, I finally got a new car and I got a nice job or whatever, but you know, I learned to really, really, really put AA first, no matter what. And I learned balance. I never had balance in my life. You know, I learned all these things, and it came from sponsoring. It came from sponsoring. And sponsoring is my greatest passion. And, you know, I want to thank you guys for listening to me. Thank you for having me, and have a great rest of your weekend.
While you're still standing, let's just have another round of applause. She'll be available to receive your thanks after the closing prayer. I want to thank our readers, Leonard F. and Valerie F. and Allison P. from Lompoc, who is about to read a vision for you. So Allison P., come on up and read a vision for you.
Hi, Allison.